Democrats thought they had won a 51-49 seat majority in the Senate this week with Raphael Warnock's runoff win in Georgia. But early this morning, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema threw a wrench in the works by announcing that she's leaving the Democratic Party and will register as an independent. Here she is on CNN.
You know, a growing number of Arizonans and people like me just don't feel like we fit neatly into one party's box or the other.
So let's start our Friday politics roundtable there with Paul Kane, congressional reporter for The Washington Post. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks for being here. And Jesse Holland, guest host at C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Jesse, we're glad you're with us as well.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jesse, let's start with you. How big of a deal is this Kyrsten Sinema announcement in the Senate? And why do you think Sinema is doing this now?
Well, first of all, it has the potential of being a big deal because Democrats thought they had a 51-49 advantage, which allows them to choose committees, and they gives them a buffer where one or two Democrats can vote against a proposal and they could still possibly win with Sinema moving into the independent ranks. But we understand still caucusing with Democrats. Democrats will still control the chamber. It's just that they're not sure where everyone stands now. And we have to take note that Sinema waited until the Georgia runoff was over, till Senator Raphael Warnock won that seat before making her move. It looks like she was trying to wait to see how things shook out in Georgia and how it would help her in the Senate before she made her move. And now that she's made it, it's now a new Senate in some ways. But in some ways, Democrats will still have their control. It's just a little more tenuous than it was yesterday.
And the White House press secretary said they, quote unquote, understand Sinema's decision to register as an independent. As Jesse just pointed out, it doesn't change the new Democratic majority in the Senate. Paul, is that how you see it?
Yeah, I think this is similar to, for Democrats especially, similar to how something shook out 16 years ago when they actually won the majority in 2006. In the midterms there, they won it by the narrowest possible measure, 51 seats, when you had the Bush administration. They couldn't have a 50-50 Senate because that would have given the majority to Republicans because they had the White House and the vice presidency at the time.
Do you anticipate that Sinema will vote with Democrats given how the committees are set up?
It's the thing that is most important is simply which side of the aisle she sits on. It's literally that simple. As long as she stays on the Democratic side of the aisle as part of their caucus, that's 51, and that's all that matters for, you know, determining the layout of the Senate. Then the chair, the person who oversees the Senate, will simply acknowledge her as somebody who sits on the Democratic side. And that's what happened with Joe Lieberman. Joe Lieberman, 16 years ago, essentially was the 51st member of the Democratic caucus, and he had lost his own primary, but ran as an independent in the election and won. And he stayed with the Democratic caucus. They didn't kick him out, and they stayed in the majority. And it was considered a 51-49 Senate for the purposes of allocating seats and committees and all the rest.
Well, what are the other impacts, Jesse, do you think? I mean, does this reinvigorate the voting power of, say, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, the other Democrat who the White House has had a hard time winning over?
Right. If there's a winner in all of this, it is Joe Manchin. Hmm. When Democrats won the Georgia runoff and it became 51-49, there were many Democrats in Washington who said, "We're so glad we don't have to depend on Joe Manchin anymore." Now we're back to where we were. Joe Manchin and Senator Sinema both are now in positions of power where they're not they were never guaranteed to vote with the majority Democrats. Now it's even more important for Democrats to get Manchin on their side on every vote. because, once again, Sinema's now an independent. She's not guaranteed to vote with Democrats. They're going to need Manchin's vote locked in every time, which gives him more say in what's going on in the Senate. We also have to keep in mind that this also takes Sinema out of a Democratic primary in Arizona, which would have been hard for her to win, right? And so this gives her a way to get to the election for her seat again without dealing with a messy primary with progressives in Arizona trying to get her out.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to Brittany Griner, the American basketball star who landed safely in the U.S. this morning after months of what President Biden called wrongful imprisonment in Russia. Yesterday, Biden said negotiations like this are difficult.
There are never any guarantees, but it's my job as President of the United States to make the hard calls and protect American citizens everywhere in the world, anywhere in the world.
He's under fire for not winning the release of American Paul Whelan. And on Fox News this morning, Republican Senator Tom Cotton said Griner should never have been released in exchange for the release of notorious Russian arms dealer Viktor Bout.
This is not someone who is selling firearms for street gangs in Moscow. We're talking about anti-aircraft systems, tanks and artillery, missiles and rockets.
Paul, how much pressure is Biden under to get Whelan out?
I think to the Tom Cottons of the world, they want Paul Whelan out, but they're more concerned about the price that we paid to get Brittany Griner out and, you know, potentially to get Whelan out. There's sort of this split in Republican world who are like, why didn't we get Paul Whelan out also? But there's the Cottons of the world are like, wait, this guy, his nickname was the Merchant of Death. You know, he's been tied to all sorts of sort of terrorist underlord types throughout, you know, all across the globe, South America, Asia. And so they are worried about what that sends, what precedent that sets to, you know, encourage people to start taking hostages so you can get those types of figures released. And also whether or not he turns back into a quote-unquote merchant of death. I think those are the real concerns among Republicans, and that latter part is the biggest concern.
In our last couple of minutes here, I want to turn to the lame duck House, which is trying to get a lot done in these last few days. Lawmakers approved a defense spending bill yesterday. It rescinds the requirement that members of the military be vaccinated against the coronavirus. It did not include protections for voting rights that some members of the Congressional Black Caucus wanted in there. Jesse, what is notable about those developments?
Well, like you said, there's a lot that the Democratic-controlled House wants to get done before it becomes a Republican-controlled House in 2023. So there's going to be a lot that people want to get done while they have control, but unfortunately, all of this is not going to be achieved. The CBC, especially looking at the most recent election, wants to get more protection for voting rights done, especially considering the trend at the Supreme Court, where they seem to be rolling back voting rights, especially in the South. The CBC wants to get some protections on that, the same way the Democratic control house put protections for gay marriage and interracial marriages. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be achievable in this lame duck session. They'll have to see what they can do some point in the future, because it's very unlikely that a Republican controlled house is going to push a similar bill through.
Now, after the Georgia Senate runoff, Republicans are assessing the party and perhaps with or without former President Trump, because the eighth of his handpicked Senate candidates lost in the midterms. Utah Republican Mitt Romney said this.
I know a lot of people in our party love the president, former president, but he's, if you will, the kiss of death.
You know, we don't have much time left, but quick last words to each of you. Where is the GOP on Trump this week, Paul?
She's, you know, and when it comes to Senate Republicans, they would really like him to sort of quietly bow out. If you look at Georgia, they had Republican candidates for governor, attorney general, secretary of state, up and down the ballot, who weren't Trump candidates and won comfortably, and then the one Trump-aligned candidate, Herschel Walker, lost. That just tells them all they need to know right now.
But what we also see is that President Trump, former President Trump, is used to doing things that advantage him. And as long as he sees an advantage of running for president as a Republican, he's going to do it. Right now, keep in mind, he's the only Republican who has announced for president, unless we consider Kanye West's candidacy. So he's going to keep doing what's best for him.
Great panel today. Jesse Holland, guest host at C-SPAN's Washington Journal, and Paul Kane, congressional reporter for The Washington Post. Many thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.